Thank you very much, Kayla. I want to thank all of you for tuning into the program. You are listening to News Talk 1190 WOWO, now on 92.3 FM. And we have a very special guest joining us, Donald Mann. Now, Donald Mann is the author of Okay, God, Now What? And Donald, welcome to the program, man. How are you?
Hey, just doing really great, Tracy. How you doing?
I am hanging in there. Now, this book is really interesting because it's more than just about, you know, political slogans, but it really is kind of like a business map, if you will. We'll get to that in a little bit, but tell us a little bit about the book, kind of a summary of it, and how you came about writing this thing.
Okay, the summary of the book really is that it provides a program to build your self-identity so that you can withstand any kind of manipulation or control that life throws at you. And the way how I learned about this was that actually years ago I got asked to go in to turn the plan around. And it was an impossible situation. The people were locked in fear, chaos, confusion. It was all highly technical. It was all scientists and engineers who couldn't work together, couldn't get the problem solved. Production was behind. And what I discovered looking at it was the first thing I had to do was make sure I didn't look at the impossibilities of the situation. So it actually drove me to my knees. Thousands of jobs were dependent upon this. Several towns could have been really severely impacted had it not worked. And so I worked on a program to get myself straight, to be confident really in the help God could give, because that's what the title of the book is, Okay, God, Now What? Because I was up against the wall. And the program I developed for myself to create my own personal success environment, I accidentally transferred to the people. And you know what? We did it. In 6 years, we went from losing money to $500 million in sales.
Well, I don't think there's a company out there that wouldn't be happy with increasing their sales by $500 million. So I guess that works out pretty good. Now, you kind of, you know, alluding to it, and we'll definitely get to the business side of this thing too, but just we got a debate coming up. It's the final gubernatorial debate here in Indiana, and no doubt we're going to see some of the political slogans that are going to be floating around there. Tell us a little bit about political slogans and how they influence the vote, and really what works, what doesn't work with a political slogan.
Okay, to do that, we got to step back just for a minute to talk about how the brain works, okay? The way that your brain operates is that we've discovered, science has discovered, that 95% of your brain matter, the neural material in your brain, supports the subconscious mind, and 5% supports your conscious or cognitive mind. And the way that you operate throughout the course of the day is your subconscious throws up to you various memories and feelings associated with the events as you go through every day. What they've discovered is we operate 95% by habit and memory recall, and only 5% by cognitive thinking. So what any advertising program does, and of course the campaign process has got to be the greatest advertising program in the world when you talk about the gubernatorial and you talk about the presidential, it's the biggest money spender in right now in America. And the effect is that they're trying to link your current existing memories and emotions and trigger them in the messages that they give. And that's what the slogans and the statements and the messages do. And typically in a political campaign, they've discovered that in general, negative campaigns are far more effective than positive campaigns by a factor of 4 to 10 times. So you're going to see in any political program, you're going to see one or two positive affirmational statements. Like, for example, Mr. Obama has Forward and Mr. Romney has Believe in America. And then you're going to see a whole lot of mudslinging associated with the rest of it, because that's what wins elections.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody, every election that I've covered, Donald, they always call me up. I get people calling me, I'm so sick and tired of the negative campaigns. And I kind of chuckle and I laugh at them because, no, you're not. You're just mad at the other guy slinging mud at your guy, but you're happy every time your guy does it.
That's right. What happens is they're triggering either way. It's going to trigger things inside of you, and it's going to trigger those emotions, and it's going to try to trip you into one of three things, typically for most people. One is you're going to try to ignore it, which just opens up your subconscious to receive it all. Number two, you're going to get in fear over what they're saying, and you're going to hear the message that I am your savior and you got to vote for me. Or you're going to get angry at what the other guy said. In all three cases, you're getting stuff written on your heart, whether you like it or not.
Now, how is it, Donald, that year in, year out, election after election, we hear a lot of the same type of slogans, although they might be worded just a little bit different. You know, this person is going to make grandma eat dog food. This person is going to take away your Social Security. This person is bad for jobs, that sort of thing. I mean, we hear it over and over again. Now, we've never seen those things actually take place. But we still believe them, and we still repeat them if it's our candidate. Why is that?
Well, that's because we have – those are all trigger words that are built into the existing memories that you have within your subconscious mind. And the whole process of the campaign, one of the things they're searching for, what messages resonate the most with the audiences they're trying to sway. And so that those, the ones you described were fear images, and that's, again, that's the primary method they use, because persuasion process, which is what this is all about, fear leverages it, makes it more powerful. They're looking for the fear messages that will trigger you into voting for them. And they're going to repeat them again and again and again. And they're not all that different over the course of time. It's just a little bit how you modify and address them.
Now, you actually say that, you know, wrong attitudes, actually, we saw, I think a lot of people were really surprised initially watching the Olympics that Phelps didn't do so well.
Right.
We also talk about, you know, John McCain last year. You know, he didn't do nearly as well as a lot of people figured he probably could, including the Republican Party.
Right.
Just because of bad attitude, or kind of break that down for us?
Well, the first of all, the thing that McCain had going against him was he thought the issue was foreign policy. And because of that, he kept stressing foreign policy, which at the end of the day, people didn't care about it. You know, there's another election statement that was years ago. Is the economy stupid?
Right.
Okay. And McCain didn't focus on that.
Yeah.
And so that's how that happened for Michael Phelps. And again, this is talking about the brain and how we work and what to do with it. Michael Phelps went to the Olympics. He showed up at the first time, didn't even medal. Right? There was an interview that he had afterwards, and he said, I trained for what I got. In other words, I hadn't trained enough to win. And he knew it. But yet, in 2 days, he was in the top medals because he had been an Olympic champion in the past. He took those same memories he had built in his mind over time, re-dug into those things, worked with them, pulled them up, and he performed actually better than his body was trained to do to win 3 more medals.
Yeah, he actually had a really good Olympic run there, far better than Ryan Lochte, which everybody expected to be the star there.
Right, right.
Well, and so, a little bit about how when you start looking at these campaigns, Donald, when you start looking at the campaigns and things like that, how does science kind of come into this? Because, you know, I think people don't realize that science surrounds us all the time. We go to the grocery store, there's a science behind how it's laid out, what you see, the eye level of things. And the same thing happens in politics. So kind of explain the science behind how they manipulate what you think and how you feel about certain ads and things like that to try and steer your vote.
Okay, what they've discovered is, first of all, remember, this is the greatest advertising program in the world, the American political election process. So they've pulled in the top guns from Madison Avenue, scientists, you know, universities and colleges who deal with neuroscience and psychology to look at the things that they're doing. And they're discovering a lot of things. You know, I mentioned that the brain operates, that we usually operate 95% out of our subconscious and 5% out of our conscious mind. 10 years ago, people would have said that's crazy. But now they've got conclusive proof of watching how the brain works and what it can do. The issue is that you're not aware what your subconscious is doing. Even when you're asleep, your subconscious is receiving information and processing it. Your cognitive mind is asleep. So they have applied all the best science they can and the triggers to get you to manipulate you, get you into fear, because when you get into fear, you no longer think clearly. Remember I talked about the plant where I turned those guys around? They were in fear, and they couldn't think clearly. You can't think creatively. You can't look at options. You're looking to accuse others. You're going to be a victim, and you're not going to be able to handle situations in your own right. That's what they're trying to do so that you look to them for the answer and not yourself or anybody else.
And we're talking with Donald Mann. He's the author of Okay, God, Now What? And in a couple of minutes, we've got to take a quick timeout, Donald. We're going to talk with you about how people can actually save money and even turn their lives around using some of the tools that you provide in your book. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes here on News Talk 1190 WoWo, now on 92.3 FM.
On News Talk 1190 WoWo, now on 92.3 FM.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to News Talk 1190 WoWo, now on 92.3 FM. Don't forget to stay tuned after the program. We will lead into the final gubernatorial debate here in Indiana, and we'll be taking your phone calls about that. Joining us right now, though, is Donald Mann. Donald Mann is the author of a very interesting book, Okay, God, Now What? Now, Donald, you're not just a scientist and a business person, but you're actually a minister as well, and no doubt that has something to do with the title. So right about now, we've been talking about political slogans, but Donald, no doubt people are wondering where the biblical element of this might come in.
Okay, well, the biblical element is pretty straightforward. It's the exact same thing as we were talking about how the brain works. What you'd learn to do is take Bible information. That's what I did when I was faced with that impossible situation with that plant. I decided to get into the Scriptures and work on keeping myself from fear and looking for how to think about God's goodness and what was going on. That's a process called heart rating, and it's the same thing that happens with anything you do with constant repetition, which is exactly what happens with the political campaign process. They're trying to write those things in your heart, so that becomes the way you act automatically. The biblical process is the same thing we're now discovering with science. It's also what top athletes have been using. It's what remember when Captain Sully saved the airplane when it crashed in the Hudson River? He had trained his brain by constant repetition to act that way under crises. Mr. Phelps, when he won the last Olympics, he did it with his goggles full of water because he had memorized and actually lived and visualized swimming the race without even being able to see where he was, and he won the race that way, all with automatic mind writing. Well, we're supposed to do that with the Scriptures also, and of course, if you're going to talk about backing yourself and confidence, there's nothing greater than the confidence that God can give you. And so that's how the process works. What happens is you write this in your heart. When events come up during the day, your subconscious throws them up to you, and you act according with whatever is written in your heart.
So, I mean, basically, you know, people draw strength from their faith. I mean, you've got this, you know, immensely influential, powerful, and compassionate force that's behind you and can help give you that support maybe when you don't have it from people around you in your own life.
Oh, absolutely. That's, of course, one of the major messages in the Scriptures. And the other one in the New Testament is, who is your identity? The major gift that we get from Jesus Christ is a new identity in him, and that's what builds the strength God gives to you so that you can move and stand against anything and do impossible things, wonderful things. Those scientists that I was working with back in that plant did creative, wonderful things once we got them out of fear and looking forward with hope and possibility.
Now, you actually, you claim that, you know, changing the way you think, like what you're describing here, Donald, might actually save people a bunch of money on medical bills every year. Tell us about that.
Okay, this is going to be a little complicated, but to put it, I'll try to do it as simply as I can. You have basically thoughts in your brain, and every time you have a repetitive thought pattern in your brain, you build neurons to support that thought process. If those thoughts are good, then the neurons that are built look almost like spaghetti strands. They're tight, smooth, and work just fine. If those are negative thoughts, evil thoughts, defeating thoughts, then it builds what's called leaky neurons. And every time those neurons fire to support that thought pattern, you actually leak neurochemicals into your blood system. They act as a poison. Just like if you have stomach acid in your stomach and you get an ulcer, it leaks into your body and causes intense pain. The expression worried sick has actually been proven to be exactly medically true. The more leaky neurons you have in your thinking because of thoughts that are destructive and negative will actually cause you over time to stress your body out. 95% of the medical visits, they talk about 75 to 95 of all visits to the doctor are due to stress-induced problems, which is really fear and leaky neurons. So if you learn to think right, you'll stress your body less, you'll be healthier, and your immune system will be stronger, and you won't need to go to the doctors anymore.
Now, you actually ask a question on whether or not education can be harming you. Explain that.
Okay, well, what that means is that we've been trained to educate our cognitive mind. You know, if I took a course, I went through college this way. I crammed on it. I took the exam. I got an A in the exam, got on the dean's list. A week later, I couldn't remember anything about it because it was all cognitive mind learning. I hadn't written it very much on my subconscious mind. So most of us think if I get a book on this or that topic and read it, I read it once, I got it. And if you ask somebody, did you read this book? They go, yeah, I got it. But you haven't written anything on your heart, so it's not part of your life. It doesn't produce the things that it could until you do the subconscious type mind writing, which takes months of effort, not hours.
Now, that kind of explains to me, it's one of the things that my wife and I talk about frequently. Why is it that I can't remember the really important document that I read earlier, but I can remember a stupid lyric to some song from when I was a kid? And that was because the song it struck a chord with me, kind of hit my heart like you were talking about, and I remembered it.
That's a song. Singing is a wonderful way to write things onto your heart. You know, you can play a song for me back from my youth, and I'll start to sing right along with it, and haven't heard it in 20 years.
Well, we've only got about 3 minutes or so, Donald. There's five steps that people can use to break negative habits. What are those five steps, and how can your book help them?
Okay. The five steps to break a habit, I go through these rather quickly. They're detailed in the book. You are today, you have to understand that you are today, right now, whatever's been written in your heart in the past. Okay? And unless you change what's in your heart, you're going to continue to do in the past for the future. That's number one. You have to realize that. Number two, the affirmations, particularly Christ affirmations, rebuild your self-identity so that you think from a different place and you operate in a different way. And the way you develop success habits is, number three, is an intentional program of writing what is in your heart. It doesn't matter what type of thing you're trying to do. You see the same thing happen with a little kid outside with a soccer ball banging against the wall. He's training his mind and his subconscious on how to play with the soccer ball. The next thing you can do is, I'm going to go through this rather fast, is journal. Write down what you're experiencing and how you're experiencing those things and see how they match up to the greatest source of reference of power, which, of course, is the Word of God. And number, the fifth thing is to recognize that when you get caught into a loop of negative thinking, don't try to fight the thinking like, I'm not going to think this, I'm not going to think this, I'm not going to do that. Instead, replace that thought with something better. One of the commands Jesus gave was, says, when people mistreat you, bless them who curse you. And the process of that replaces all the pain that you feel so that you can now operate from a stronger, better place. And those five things, if you do them for any habit, it will strengthen you. Part of what I've done in the program with OK God Now What was took the program I developed for myself, refined it, exercised it, applied a lot more of the scientific knowledge we have today to it, and made it so it can work. There was one example is a guy named James who came back from Iraq. His life was messed up. He was in sales. It wasn't working. Of course, his marriage was in trouble. He'd been a minister all of his life almost in teaching the Bible, but when he saw the program, how scriptural and solid it was, he started doing it right away. And here's what he said. Over a period of time, it was like before, I was a piece of paper blown around by the wind. All of a sudden, I became a flag attached to a flagpole, and no matter which way the wind blew or how hard, I was firmly fixed and not going anywhere. And that was part of what happened to him, and of course, the net result was his sales started to increase, his marriage got better, his kids got better. All those things happened because his self-identity got from what we're offered in Christ, he started to build it in himself, and then it became something real in him through mind writing.
And if look, people out there need some help right now. They got nothing to lose by checking out this book. And you give a guarantee anyway. Our website is okgodnowwhat.com. Is there any other place for they to get the book, Donald?
Well, if you go there, it's available at all places where fine books are sold. If you go to the website, you can sign up right there. We have a list of top 10 affirmations that you can use to get started to writing the right things on your mind. And also that you've put the stadium radio, you have to put the name of the show or the radio station on there so you can get this. And it's really available for you at okgodnowwhat.com.
Thank you very much, Donald. We do appreciate you joining us. Thank you. And go check it out, okgodnowwhat.com. You're listening to News Talk 1190 WoWo, now on 92.3 FM.